The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yeah, welcome in, pro wrestling fans, here on a Saturday. It's time for the weekend edition, podcast edition of Busted Open. I'm Ryan McKinnell, your weekend host. Got my tag team partner, the Hall of Famer, Mark Henry, holding it down here on a Saturday. In today's episode, we dive into the trio of controversy surrounding Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, and the returning Karrion Kross on Friday Night SmackDown. What is it going to mean for Clash at the Castle? Well, tune in and you'll find out. We also on this episode have a one-year celebration. That's right, it's been 1 year since CM Punk returned to the business of professional wrestling. How would we rate that return over the last 12 months? And it wouldn't be a Saturday edition of Busted Open if we didn't give you weekly winner for our best show that was in the week of professional wrestling. So sit back, relax, and click play. Let's get it going. Busted Open on a Saturday. When you talk about Drew and you talk about Roman, I loved that face to face last night. I don't know what their backstage situation is or anything like that, or I'm sure they're friendly and they get along fine, right? But when they got in the squared circle last night and they went face to face and they started, I don't know, letting things off their chest, specifically Drew McIntyre talking about how you don't deserve to hold that title and it needs to be defended and the shine needs to be, I'm paraphrasing, right? It felt real, Mark, and that we talk about it all the time. That's when pro wrestling is best.
Well, I mean, that's definitely when it's best, is when you get some reality to the show, if you will. And Drew McIntyre, man, he got the rawest deal of rawest deals.
Oh, with
he
the pandemic?
He had the championship reign during COVID.
Yeah.
And he didn't get to defend that title in front of the fans like everybody else did. Why would he not feel like Roman don't deserve it because he don't defend the title every week? Because Drew would have.
Absolutely. 100%. And that's why, again, that's the realism in that promo. You know, when he says it, there on some level, there's some, you know, there's some truth to that. There, how much? I mean, that we'll never know, right? But that we've been living that story as long as Drew's been living that story. We've been riding with Drew, like you said, through the pandemic and through everything that he went to. And that's why there was emotion tied to that promo. And I think it's set up for a couple weeks at Clash at the Castle even better. But it does beg the question. Joe from Bayonne just asked us about a triple threat for the IC title and asking, do you interject Sami Zayn? Well, you know, something we can talk about as the show goes on. But as we talk about potentially interjecting people into a triple threat, listen, I don't think we're going to see Karrion Kross as a part of Clash at the Castle, right? This feels like it's going to be Drew McIntyre getting his shine, home arena essentially against Roman Reigns. It doesn't mean that Karrion Kross isn't going to make his presence felt. And last night on SmackDown, Mark, Kross had or was letting his presence be felt. There was an hourglass in the locker room before Drew McIntyre walked out for that final segment. And there was also a promo from Karrion Kross, a little package that we're going to let the Busted Open Nation listen to right now. Now, obviously, they're not going to have the video that goes along with the audio, but even so, with just the audio, I think the point gets across. This was across from Karrion Kross. This was Karrion Kross last night on Friday Night SmackDown.
You are a chosen one. Just like Reigns. Doesn't matter what you've ever done, or what you're ever going to do. This is what you are. Which means it really bothers you about that. The fact that where you failed, they chose someone else. And that person built the table you failed to set. They chose you. And they were wrong. They chose you. And they were wrong.
They chose you, McIntyre! And deep down inside, you've always known they were wrong!
Woo! That was a fire-ass package from Karrion Kross saying to Roman, well, to Drew McIntyre saying, you were a chosen one, just like Roman Reigns, and flaming the entire top of that division, the entire world title picture. Karrion Kross is, we knew this, Mark. We've been talking about him for years on this show. I watched him out here in Vegas, as I mentioned, as a part of the indie scene. When he locks it in, and he starts cutting those type of promos, and he starts speaking from the fire that is in his soul, there are few that are as believable on a microphone as Karrion Kross.
There are not. And Ryan, we talk about this all the time, and we've been talking about it a long time, that Roman Reigns and has his own gravitational pull, right?
Right.
That Roman Reigns is a guy that, You don't really need to give any bells and whistles to. The guy's just got it, right? But Joe brought up a good point. Why not have a triple threat? Because I would have, in that match, I would have Karrion Kross out at ringside at the Clash at the Castle. I would want him to be involved over these next few weeks and even up until the pay-per-view. And then afterwards, after it's all said and done and decided whether he distracts Roman and causes Roman to lose or Drew McIntyre loses. But nonetheless, he is now a piece of the puzzle. And now he's involved, and you booked him in a match where it decides whether or not who is going to be the champion. And you give a reason for Roman to lose and Drew McIntyre to actually become the champion again and finally get to defend in front of people and finally get a chance to run against the machine that is the WWE. It will make for good television, but I doubt that that'll happen because as we're on the eve of next year's WrestleMania, the money is in something that we proposed a year and a half ago, and that's Roman Reigns and The Rock.
Right.
And why would you put a blemish on that this late when you could have done that months ago?
Yeah, I think you use Kross for what he is, which is one of the first viable challengers, like in a real way, that or at least a new fresh face for Roman Reigns to pick off until presumably we get to Royal Rumble and a potential return of Dwayne Johnson. I think we're all kind of holding our collective breath in the hopes that that happens. We'll see. I mean, I'd like to think where there's smoke, there's fire. We'd be getting some sort of, you know, inclination of whether that was going to happen or not, but to Clash at the Castle and this match between Drew and Roman, I get what you're saying about having Karrion Kross ringside, and that could be a way to do it. I do think Karrion Kross is going to make his presence felt no matter what come September 3rd. And I think the move, Mark, is to cost Drew the match, right? Like to go out there to affect the match, cost Drew the match, not because you're trying to help Roman. You're not trying to help Roman. You hate Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is the bane of your existence. But you're trying to get that heel heat. You're trying to get that those double birds being flipped, you know, at Karrion Kross, making him more hateable. And what's more hateable than, you know, taking out Drew McIntyre in his home territory?
Cost him. And he also, if that's done, and I would say, I'm not saying a run-in. I want Karrion Kross to be out there, him and Scarlett, sitting with the announce team.
Yeah.
The entire match, I want a distraction.
Okay.
I want them both guys looking over at the table like, who are you here for? And when that time comes, I want him to be able to say, I helped you.
Right.
And you're going to wrestle me.
Right.
And have him be able to, whether by hook or by crook, get a shot at Roman Reigns.
You know what, so another interesting angle they could go with, and I didn't really think about it till you brought her name up, Scarlett. Scarlett is quite the distraction, right? What if, like, Scarlett played a little bit of an intermediary in between that? Because we haven't seen Roman, like, flanked by any women, really, in this bloodline story, or really at any point, right? I'm just saying, maybe Scarlett could use her womanly ways to cause a distraction and sweeten the deal and kind of play the Don King, play the promoter, you know what I'm saying? Like, kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, the witchy sort of evil, you know, sort of trickster, if you will, Mark Henry. You think there's any legs to that?
I don't think so, because
no,
you want the top dog, if you will, to go back to his old gimmick,
right?
To be settled in the ring, man to man, and if the distraction happens, it should be off the fact that you took your eye off the ball, not, you know, somebody used their womanly ways to get you.
But like, she can force you to take your eye off the ball, you know, and Cross has got to know
that. I could deal with her.
Yeah.
Take the eye off the ball, not coercing him to be, you know, off his game. I don't see that.
All right. Well, it's a good problem to have, right? You got a lot of talented players in this picture. Yeah, you got a lot of options for however it's going to play out. You know what? I think the coolest thing about Cross, and this is a testament to just how, you know, how fans gravitate towards him and how captivating he is on a television screen. He wasn't even at the show last night. And just through that that package that they ran and the hourglass in the locker room, right? Like, his presence was littered all over that show last night. And again, that's a testament to his character and how talented that dude is.
Yeah, and you sit around here now and you go, how can you not have seen that? Yeah. It's more of a cutting your hand off despite your arm. Like, I don't believe in it, and I'm not going to give it any light. That's what it was.
Yeah, because we had a user on Twitter, out on the socials, Mikey Three Count. He chimed in. He said, "I believe," and this is as we talk about sort of the orbit and everything that's happening with the bloodline and Roman Reigns, and of course the honorary Oos, Sami Zayn, a man we've been talking about a lot. Mikey Three Count said, "I believe Sammy's next moment will be teaming with KO after the bloodline turn on him in the upcoming months, making a Sammy KO versus the Usos for the tag titles at a Rumble or a WrestleMania. Sammy and KO win and become the first to dethrone the Usos." Mark, that is absolutely an option they can do with, and you go back to Kevin Steen and El Generico and their history as a tag team unit. They're obviously best friends. They've been riding the roads for a decade plus. Most of us know the story of Owens and Sami Zayn. That would be so awesome. Like, it's gonna take a force. It's gonna take a legitimate tag team, someone with serious chemistry and someone with serious equity to go out there and to dethrone the Usos, to dethrone the bloodline from those tag team championships, those unified tag team championships. That would be an awesome story to tell.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey everyone, it's Howard Bender from the Andy Up Podcast. Every weekday, Adam Ronis and I serve you up the picks, plays, and fantasy information needed to win your bets. You know, this isn't just your average sports betting show, though, for one very good reason. We won't tell you what to do, unless we've already done it ourselves. That's right. We put our money where our mouths are, so we're just as invested in each bet as you are. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, free for most subscribers.
Of course, we are talking about AEW World Champion CM Punk. Controversy aside, Mark, if it's smoke and mirrors, whatever the case may be, time will tell. But one thing we do know, one thing that is undeniable, indisputable, is today, August 20th, 2022, marks 1 year since the Best in the World made his return to the squared circle, signing with AEW, letting the cat out of the bag, CM Punk showing up, and then a couple weeks later, wrestling it all out, his first match in 7 years against Darby Allin. And it's really been a roller coaster ever since. He found himself, obviously, Mark, if we're doing the whole timeline, found himself becoming AEW World Champion in May at Double or Nothing here in Las Vegas. But Mark, there was a whole lot of matches and a whole lot of storytelling in between that. And for me, those matches, that storytelling, basically, if this was like the year of Punk, if we're just like looking over his 1 year and how it ranks and how we feel about it, and I threw that question out there to the callers, I'll just think about this year as CM Punk really going out and just having a multitude of matches, different styles, different stories being told about a lot for a lot of up and comers and for the future of the business. I really felt like this was like a year of giving back for CM Punk.
It was, and not just a year of giving back. It was a year of feeling like you had to give the fans what they missed.
Yeah.
Over that time that he was gone. And you can sum it up into the angle he had with MJF and him going back to wearing the old Punk gear and them having a dog collar match was worth him coming back by itself. But nonetheless, guys, Punk is back, and this year has been unbelievable success. And there's not one match that he had in all of the sagas that he had this 1 year that said, it's kind of overrated. He had a hell of a run this year, and I wish him many more.
Yeah, I mean, let's just look at that first wave when he came in. Like, let's look at like basically the first month or two. He comes in and he wrestles Darby Allin at All Out, immediately rubber stamping Darby Allin, right? That was his first match in 7 years at the Now Arena in Chicago. Tons of eyes were on that match. It was 16. I'm looking at the official match time right now. It was a 16 minute and 40 second match with Darby Allin at All Out. Again, you're putting over the future with Darby Allin. Then he goes out and his next match is against Powerhouse Hobbs on a Rampage. It was that Grand Slam Rampage that went 13 minutes plus. His next match was against Daniel Garcia, 14 minutes. His next match was against Matt Sydal, 15 minutes. His next match was against Bobby Fish, 13 minutes. His next match was against Eddie Kingston on a pay-per-view. His next match was QT Marshall. His next match was Lee Moriarty. His next match was Wardlow. His next match was Sean Spears. His next match was MJF. His next match was Dax Harwood. You get the theme that I'm laying out. This dude put over the entire company in like 3 months.
I mean, did the damn thing. And you noticed that there was a variety of different styles, grapplers, big guys, intermediate-sized guys, guys that were good guys that were bad guys. The end result was what? Everybody got over.
Yep.
And that is a talent that is worth paying for, because that's the gift that keeps on giving. And that is the legacy of CM Punk coming back, is he has been able to help this company, AEW, get to the point to where the wrestlers that he wrestled against are now standalone viable commodities themselves.
They all came out looking better. They all came out looking better for it, Mark, to your point.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Yep, absolutely. So I guess how would you rank if you were to give a rating scale? I'm going to throw it out to the Busted
Star
Open
rating
Nation.
Or is it 100%
no,
rating?
No, no, no. This is a 1 to 10 rating, right? I'm going to throw it out to the Nation as well. 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT-93.
I'll give my
scale of 1 to 10, Mark.
Oh, man. I got to do it right now?
Yeah.
Damn.
Put you on the spot.
I would have to say I give him a 9.5.
All right.
I can't say perfection because everybody wanted to see CM Punk and Cody Rhodes. And we missed. And that was a miss. Is still
a miss is a miss.
A miss is a miss.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing that I didn't get that I wanted. And that's just me being a fan of wrestling.
Yeah, I would say the other match is one that is still on the table and hopefully one we get in a proper long form storytelling piece of booking, and that would be Bryan Danielson. But that's something that even Punk referenced in terms of when he was coming back at Double or when he won the title at Double or Nothing, and they had the press conference afterwards. He mentioned Danielson's name, and rightfully so. Obviously, they've been linked throughout their career, and that would be a fun match. And yeah, I'd have to be right around the 9.5 mark as well. I don't think it could be handled much better. Now, again, there is controversy. We don't know where the truth lies, what's happening recently, but hey, that comes after the 1 year mark. One-year mark is right now. So, yeah, good problem to have. CM Punk drawing interest, drawing eyes. And when you look at, again, that list of matches, I mentioned Daniel Garcia, Powerhouse Hobbs, Bobby Fish early on. And then in the last few months, Penta, Max Caster, Dax Harwood, John Silver. He's working with a ton of talent, getting eyes on that talent and securing the future for AEW. So I don't know how you can't rank it at least up in the 7s, 8s, 9s out of 10.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Jen Piacenti here, host of Sticks and Stacks, the podcast that brings you the very best action from the world of hockey and baseball. Each week, myself, Sean Drotar, and Nate Lundy will bring you our best picks and talk you through the props, bets, and fantasy advice that can help you become the best fantasy manager in your league or even just help you win some money. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app. Free for most subscribers.
It is a burner, Mark. Every week over the last few weeks has been neck and neck in terms of weekly winner. Monday Night Raw has been awesome. Friday Night SmackDown has been awesome. NXT is finding their footing and getting some more clarity. Dynamite continues to deliver. And we got Rampage throwing some fun wrestling on Friday nights as well. But when we talk about weekly winner, we start where we start every weekly winner. We start on Monday. And honest to God, Mark, my favorite moment, maybe aside from a return on Wednesday, my favorite moment from this week was that back and forth between Drew McIntyre and Kevin Owens on Monday night for Monday Night Raw. The vitriol, the truth, the realism, the heat that Owens and McIntyre brought on Monday. Yo, sign me up for it all day and twice on Sundays.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, you hit the nail on the head on Raw with that because I made a note that those guys, they work together like they really hate each other.
Yep.
And I don't think that there's hatred. I think there's just like a respect thing that it just bubbles over into an overly aggressive style. And, man, I'm twice on Sunday, like, I can watch it again today just to watch it again. And when you watch 13, 14 hours of wrestling a week, the last thing you want to do is right. Sticking to like, carve out time to watch more wrestling, but that match was that good.
Yeah, right. The match that came afterwards was awesome as well. The promo, I think, is what people are going to be left talking about. But yeah, there was a really good match in between. They're speaking of really good matches on Monday. Bobby Lashley and AJ Styles, duh. Like, you knew they were going to deliver. It was still nice to see it optically for the U.S. title. That was a badass match as well on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, it was good, man. Like, you know, you have two unbelievably great talents going against each other. And there were some things that got a little muddy at the end. But nonetheless, it was really good match. Man, Theory and Ziggler was good.
Yeah. Yeah, in the main event, that's what closed down the show. That was absolutely great. And we moved from Monday into Tuesday, Mark, and NXT Heatwave had a show, a little bit of a premium show, if you will, on Tuesday for NXT. And it was a premium show, and it was a premium show that delivered, Mark, really good professional wrestling from top to bottom, I should say, at Heatwave on Tuesday.
Man, Carmelo Hayes is a star.
That dude's a
you know,
truth.
I knew we talk about him, and I know he's been good, like kind of a shining light in kind of a sinking ship that has been what NXT has looked like at times.
Yeah,
but
at different points.
Man, him and Giovanni, shoot. Giovanni is a lot better than I remember. He's good, but he was great. And that's where I'm going to leave it. Like, hell of a match. They both did unbelievable things that the main event guys and the guys that are on the upper shows need to pay attention to, because that is where pro wrestling is going. Yeah. And they did that AEW work rate type match. It was pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, so Tuesday we move into Wednesday. Lots of good matches on Wednesday to talk about, Mark. Of course, the Trios tournament match that we got a return in the main event. But that is not what everyone is talking about, Mark. Everything that is revolving in the pro wrestling world seems to be revolving around the way Dynamite started off and the back and forth between CM Punk and Jon Moxley. But more specifically, CM Punk addressing Adam Hangman Page at the beginning of that show and what was a scathing promo that is drumming up quite a bit of controversy, Mark Henry.
You know what, man? I always joke, you know, with the "my name is Bennett, I ain't in it." I think that a lot of this is a lot of nothing. I think that, you know, is not just wrestling. It's never going to just be wrestling. There's going to be people that are not going to agree with each other. There's going to be people that don't like each other. There's going to be people that are going to, I'm willing to work with this person, but don't feel like I need to go and have a drink with them or have a dinner with them. There's going to be a little bit of everything.
Now, as we talk about the title picture, a man who knows the AEW championship very, very well. He has held it, and he held it for an extremely long time. He was a reigning champion over many, 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 many months. I don't know what the official number is, but of course, I'm talking about Kenny Omega, Mark Henry, and Kenny making his return on Wednesday night as a part of that Trios championship tournament when he teamed up with his old pals, the Young Bucks, as they took on Andrade El Idolo, Rush, and Dragon Lee in what was an absolute banger. The match was a banger, Mark, but the return of Kenny Omega is what everyone was talking about in that main event. It's good to have, well, whatever you call him, I call him the cleaner still. It's good to have the cleaner back, the best bout machine.
Man, Kenny Omega is a lot like Roman Reigns in the sense that the guy has his own gravitational pull.
Yeah,
like the fans love him all around the world. It don't matter where he goes. You know, Jacob is one of the biggest Kenny fans ever. Followed him all through New Japan. What he's done with the Golden Lovers, and I mean, every saga that you can imagine. You know, we talk about, and Kenny is well respected, and it's good to have somebody else like that back. because that means that business is about to pick up. Also, you can't mention that match without Dragon Lee going from the ring out into the crowd.
Oh, what a like, spot.
Holy snikes, Batman. Like the dude, like that, it was really impressive. There was a lot of things that they did were really impressive and really solid and stiff working conditions. I really enjoyed it. And I thought that that's one of those that you don't have to see a match like that every week to know that people are tough. But that was a match that, like, we're going to see at Clash at the Castle between Gunther and Sheamus, where the guys really took it to each other. And it was very solid and an aggressive match.
Well, we move on, Mark. And there was a lot to like about Friday. Of course, there was the main event. There was the back and forth between everybody in terms of the promo work, Karrion Kross doing his thing, Ronda Rousey kicking off the show. But two things that we haven't talked about. Number one, Sarah Logan being teased in a package with the Viking Raiders, looking like she might return to, some familiar territory with those two. But also, how about Toxic Attraction showing up on the main roster and getting that victory in the women's tag team title match tournament? That was a big deal for those two.
That is. You talk about furthering the brand.
Yeah.
Toxic Attraction got a big shot in the arm with that win. And coming off of early in the week, on Tuesday, you had Mandy Rose, you know, like we said, beating Zoe Stark. And so they're rolling. Toxic Attraction is a really, really viable commodity right now, and they're taking advantage of it.
It becomes time to make that decision. It is weekly wintertime, and we do have to give the nation the best show that was in the week of professional wrestling. So what say you, World's Strongest Man? Where are you landing here on this date of August 20th, 2022? Who's your weekly winner?
Well, I preface this early in the show, the first 15 minutes of the show. Hang around, guys. Tune in to the last hour of the show because we're going to do Weekly Winner, and it's going to be a shocking surprise. And that shocking surprise, guys, is if you're not first, you last. NXT got first this week.
That is a surprise. You told the nation to stick around because you were throwing us a swerve. Mark, I can't remember the last time that NXT won
Black
a weekly
and gold.
Winner.
I'll tell you when it was.
Hey, 2 years. Was, I was going to say 2 years ago, probably.
It was 2 years ago. It was the next to the last match that they had on when the Black and Gold beat AEW.
Yeah.
2 years it's been. And that's ridiculous.
Far too much talent.
The show should be like it was on Tuesday every week.
And listen, you pick NXT, which warms my heart, right? Because it's been so long since NXT has gotten that nod and certainly deserving this week. Everyone was deserving. But, Mark, I'm going Wednesday. When you talk about just the controversy that the CM Punk promo drummed up, that is leading headlines all across the blogosphere, if you will, right? We talk about it all the time. Wrestling is about moments. He certainly created a moment with that opening promo. And then him and Moxley going back and forth, that was a moment. Talk about moments. Yeah. How about that 2 out of 3 falls match between Daniel Garcia and Bryan Danielson? That
pretty
was a
impressive.
stupid match. And then the main event, the trios tournament, we talk about moments. Kenny Omega returning after like 10 months away, which a bunch of good stuff in between. It was close, but I can't deny my heart, Mark Henry. I am going with Dynamite. That was just too good of a show to ignore. But again, NXT 2.0 putting in work, SmackDown, Impact, Raw, everybody having really great shows. I applaud everybody for making this decision much harder than it has been in the past. Salute to everybody in pro wrestling.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Neri Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Mother Marissa, Marissa Rivas.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.